Thank you. Good morning. I would like to call to order the January 13th, 2021 meeting of the TPA's Technical Advisory Committee. The Palm Beach TPA is conducting this meeting both in person and virtually using the Zoom webinar platform. The TPA selected this platform because it does not require the public to purchase or download any additional software or equipment to attend this meeting. The public will have no discernible difference in their ability to watch the meeting from that of someone physically attending the meeting. Instruction to join this virtual meeting, as well as contact information for a TPA staff member to assist you, are provided in the published meeting agenda. Before we begin, I will summarize our public comment procedures for this virtual meeting. Written comments may be submitted online at the website provided in the agenda. Verbal comments may be made by a virtual attendee using the raise hand feature in the Zoom platform. Lastly, a verbal and/or written comment may be provided by an in-person attendee submitting a comment card available at the welcome table. Staff, please call the roll so that we can establish a quorum.
At this time, I'm only going to ask those TAC members that are present in person to respond by saying "here" when I call your name. As a reminder, you need to press your button and you can move the microphones closer to your face so it can pick you up. I do sanitize them, so there shouldn't be any fear that you would get sick from them. And I also want to remind those that are attending on behalf of the main member to just state your name and who you're present on behalf of. So Modusum Alturk, Steve Anderson.
Anna Bielewska for Steve Anderson.
Terrence Bailey.
Here.
Jim Bell. Jamie Brown. Lena Camacho.
Here.
Lorraine Cargill. Natalie Crowley.
Mike Morrow for Natalie.
Brian Davis.
Here.
Kim Delaney. Thomas Driscoll. Alex Hansen. Aaron Hoffman. Kara Irwin Ferris.
Here.
Andrew Mack.
Mike Rumpf for Andrew Mack.
Maher Mansour. Christopher Marsh. Michael O'Dell.
Present.
Richard Pereira.
Here.
Richard Reed.
Kim Glass Castro for Rich Reed.
Gary Sipek. Maria Tahara. Kenny Wilson is excused. John Crane.
Here.
We have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Moving on to the next item, staff, are there any modifications to the agenda?
Yes, Madam Chair. So pursuant to state law, a quorum of the TAC must be physically present at the advertised meeting site in order to conduct the meeting and take action as a body. However, the Florida Attorney General has previously opined that so long as a quorum is physically present at the meeting site, additional members may participate remotely, provided that they have a significant circumstance that justifies their absence. Their significant circumstance being reasonably determined by the physically present members. I have a few members that have provided a brief explanation of the significant circumstance preventing their in-person attendance. I will read the list so that the committee may determine if the members will be admitted into the meeting as a virtual participant. Please note that voting members approved to participate remotely will be unable to participate in debate, and also that they must vote unless they have documented a conflict of interest on a particular item. And I'm going to read these in no particular order, just the order that they are saved on my system. So I have Alex Hansen from the city of West Palm Beach. He would like to be approved to attend remotely. He is a single parent who has custody of two elementary school children who are attending school virtually. Because of his children's virtual schooling, he has been working remotely since last March. As a result, he's asking to be allowed a virtual attendance. And I can read them all at once, Madam Chair. The next is from Christopher Marsh with Royal Palm Beach. If possible, I would like to attend remotely. I have family members with underlying health issues. The next I have is Jamie Brown from the city of Lake Worth Beach. The city of Lake Worth Beach still has our COVID protocols in place and employees have not yet begun attending meetings in person again. If possible, I would like to participate virtually. The next is from Jim Bell. The reason for the request to participate in the meeting remotely is that at this time, the city of Boca Raton prohibits me from attending such meetings in person. The next is Maria Tahara, also from the city of Boca Raton. And the city does not allow its staff to attend in-person meetings. Therefore, she's respectfully requesting to be allowed to attend the meeting virtually. The next is from Maher Mansour. The school district planning staff has been directed to work remotely since March 2020 and have been advised to continue to do so. And then the last one I received was from Vicky Gitanis from SFRTA. She said, I'm requesting the virtual attendance because she has health considerations that place her at a high risk under the current pandemic conditions.
Okay, thank you. TAC members, are there any objections to allowing these members to participate remotely? Seeing none, these members are approved to participate remotely.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will promote them to panelists.
Okay. Please note their attendance in the minutes. Okay, we'll move on to item C, motion to approve the minutes for December 2nd, 2020. Are there any changes proposed to the minutes? If not, or is there a motion to adopt the minutes?
So for the record, I have a motion by Terrence and a second by Michael O'Dell.
Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say nay. Thank you. Moving on. Item D, general public comments and public comments on agenda items. Members of the public are invited to offer general comments and or comments and questions on specific agenda items. Have any general comments been received?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, moving on. Next item, comments from the chair and members. First would be the chair. I don't have any comments this morning other than thank you for giving me the opportunity to be the chair, and I'll do my best to make sure I do everything right. If any committee members has a comment for the committee, please utilize the raise hand function on the Zoom platform to ask to be recognized. You can also put your comment card up and then remember to unmute your microphone once you are recognized. I'll recognize Brian Davis from Palm Beach County Planning.
Thank you. Chair, I just wanted to make sure that everyone was aware there tomorrow the county is hosting a mobility summit. This will be a virtual event. If you would like to see more information, go to the county's website, pbcgov.org, and then do a search for mobility. It may also be on the banner or there to be scrolled through, but this is will be a facilitated event. It will be a virtual event, and the idea is to begin the discussion about mobility options within the county. You and your elected officials should have all received information about this, but I just want to make sure that everyone here was aware that that event is going on tomorrow. It will be from tomorrow from 8:30 to about 2 p.m. or hopefully soon thereafter. So just want to let everybody know about that.
Thank you. Seeing no other cards, do we have any raised hands in the system?
No, Madam Chair, I don't see any virtual hands raised.
Thank you. Moving on to the next item is the TAC liaison report. Andrew, would you please review the liaison report?
Yes, good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all. So I have the liaison report printed out here for you all in person, and then it's on the screen now. For those that want these links later on or want to know more information, we put this up on the agenda on the TAC website after the meeting, so you can always find it there. It's a quick one. So the first one is the TPA committee census update. We're still only at 31 out of 48 of you all responding to the census update. So if you have not done that yet, we'd like you to fill that out at that link. It only really takes a minute to fill out. So we'd appreciate you guys helping with that so we can have a better tracking of our members according to state statute. Our next TPA governing board meeting is gonna be January 21st at 9 a.m. That's gonna be both in person here and virtually. The main agenda item is going to be the draft tentative work program, what you all are seeing today. Safe Street Summit registration is still open. It's open till January 22nd, 2021. And the event's going to be held virtually January 28th and 29th. And you can visit safestreetsummit.org to register. There's also an AV American Autonomous Vehicles and Public Transportation Virtual Conference, and that's going to be held February 2nd and 3rd. And you can find out more information at avamerica.org/events. And lastly, we have this one on the agenda often. There's the high visibility enforcement pedestrian and bicycle safety funding available. And so you can learn more about that grant opportunity at alerttodayflorida.com/HVE. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Staff, are there any public comments on this item?
No, Madam Chair.
Do any committee members have any comments or questions on the liaison report? Don't see any cards, no raised hands. Just to remind everyone to take that survey on the census. It's actually so quick. Just look through your email for it. Moving on to the next item, action items. The first one is the motion to recommend endorsement of the Florida Department of Transportation, FDOT's fiscal year 2022 to 2026 draft tentative work program. I'd like to invite Jason Price, TPA TIP coordinator, to present the item. He'll be followed by Leslie Weatherall with FDOT.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jason Price. I'm the TIP coordinator for the Palm Beach TPA. So today I'll present the fiscal year 22 through 26 FDOT tentative work program. The TPA compiles a summary of the FDOT work program. And after my presentation, FDOT will speak briefly after the presentation. As a reminder, this is an action item that will require a vote at the conclusion of the presentation and the discussion. So just to review and go over and to remind the group of the TPA mission, that's to collaboratively plan, prioritize, and fund the transportation system. And today we're focused on the fund portion of the TPA mission. So why are we reviewing the draft tentative work program? Well, through statute, the district work program shall be developed cooperatively with the TPA and include to the maximum extent feasible the projects prioritized by the TPA. In addition, the FDOT shall make a presentation to the TPA to determine the necessity of making any changes to projects included in the work program, as well as to hear requests for new projects to be added to or existing projects to be deleted from the district work program. Here we've developed an illustration of the TIP development process. And you can see in this process, the process that we went through to adopt the active TIP, as well as the development of the next TIP, which we are reviewing today. It starts with project development and the adoption of the list of priority projects you see highlighted in the green shade. And that occurred in July 2020. Now from here, the list of priority projects is received by the FDOT and then incorporated into the draft tentative work program to the best of their ability to fund the projects that we provide. So today we're reviewing the status of the TPA priority projects, the FDOT strategic intermodal system projects, as well as other projects of significance. Here's another illustration that shows you the total funding in the work program broken down by the sections in the TIP, as well as the funding sources within those categories. And you can see that there's a large amount of federal and state funds in CIS capacity, in addition to the turnpike using turnpike funds. And we'll see a list of those projects later on in the presentation. So I'll go over three main components that we review and highlight, and that's the state road modifications, the local initiatives, and the transportation alternatives programs. To start, the state road modification projects are projects from our long-range transportation plan and smaller projects selected annually. This has a five-year target of about $134 million in federal and state funds, and this draft tentative work program before you today has funding of about $188 million. Now, to review the highlights, one of the main highlights is the State Route 80 lighting construction funded in fiscal year 26. It was about $13 million allocated for construction from local initiatives funding. And so that will impact the local initiatives grant program that we'll see later on. The next highlight is US 1 from Palmetto Park to North Lake Boulevard transit shelters, where $5 million in construction funding was added for fiscal year 25. And Atlantic Avenue widening from Lyons Road to Jog Road, there was $5 million added for right of way. And lastly, Palm Beach County and Boca Raton signal improvements have been added to the draft tentative work program with design in fiscal year 26. In addition to those highlights for state road modifications, there's also some projects that have been delayed or not programmed as part of this work program. The first is the PD&E for Tri-Rail extension to Jupiter, which was again delayed till fiscal year 23. There's Atlantic Avenue widening from State Route 7 to Lyons Road, which was delayed to fiscal year 24. And lastly, Lake Worth Road transit signal prioritization was not funded. The next program is the Local Initiatives Grant Program administered by the TPA. This is an annual competitive grant process with a five-year target of approximately $100 million in federal and state funds. And this year, in the draft tentative work program, we see about $72 million programmed with the remaining on state road modification projects. Now, there was five projects that were prioritized this year, but were not programmed with funds due to insufficient funding because of the State Route 80 lighting that I mentioned previously. Our recommendation is for the projects not programmed to be reprioritized at the top of the new LI application cycle for this coming year. This will limit the amount of funding available for new submittals this application cycle for 2021, but provide funding for those previous projects that were expecting funding. So given that impact, there's probably closer to about $7 or $8 million available, as opposed to the normal $20 million that we see annually for the Local Initiatives Grant Program. One project that was funded was SFRTA or Tri-Rail and the purchase of a new train car for $2.5 million that was funded in the draft tentative work program. And that was used as a match of $2.5 million for trip funds to purchase the train car. And lastly, the next one is a collection of projects by Delray Beach and the request to delay some projects. This includes Lindell Boulevard and Barwick Road construction was delayed from fiscal year 22 to 23, which also required the movement of the construction funds for Brant Bridge from fiscal year 23 to 25, in addition to Germantown Road from fiscal year 23 to 24. One project that is moving forward and has been accelerated is the Town of Palm Beach Signal Interconnect project with linking a selection of their intersections with the Palm Beach, with the overall county signalized system. So they'll bring those signals into the rest of the Palm Beach County signal system. The next program is the Transportation Alternatives Program, which is also an annual competitive grant program. This has a three-year target of $9 million in federal and state funds. And this draft tentative work program, you see about $11 million programmed. There's four new projects that were funded for construction in fiscal year 24. And the projects are listed below here. There's the ADA curb ramp and sidewalk improvements in Lake Worth Beach, Kyoto Gardens Drive bike lanes and Pathway in Palm Beach Gardens, Cherry Road Shared Use Path in Westgate CRA, and lastly, Palm Trans sidewalk connections and ADA upgrades at approximately 110 bus stops. However, this was only partially funded. Now we'll return to some of the more mainline projects for the strategic intermodal system projects, and I'll review some of the summary of changes for I-95 interchanges. Those changes include Hypoluxo Road. The design was delayed from fiscal year 21 to 22. Indian Town Road, the construction was delayed from fiscal year 23 to 24. Linton Boulevard, the construction was delayed from fiscal year 25 to 26. And Northlake Boulevard, there was $41 million added to construction in fiscal year 26, as well as 45th Street, $13 million was added to construction in fiscal year 26. Continuing with mainline projects is the Turnpike projects. So here is a summary of some of the work that will be done in the next 5 years on the Turnpike. The first one includes widening from 6 lanes to 8 lanes with an auxiliary lane from Palm Beach County line to north of Glades Road. The next are all widening from 4 lanes to 8 lanes, beginning at West Palm Beach Service Plaza to Southern Boulevard, and then continuing from Southern Boulevard to north of Okeechobee Boulevard, and then from Okeechobee Boulevard onward to Beeline Highway. In total, there's about $728 million in addition to these projects and other projects on the Turnpike over the next 5 years. So there's also some new projects that we saw for the first time in the draft tentative work program that we'll go over today. There are 5 new safety projects included in the draft tentative work program using federal and safety funds. If you recall last December and last meeting, there were amendments to the TIP to add safety projects using federal and state funds. The TPA board last month also passed a resolution along with the amendments requesting FDOT to conduct a call for safety projects to create a more formal process for local municipalities, the TPA, and the state to prioritize these funds, and FDOT is working to that end to develop a process. In addition, there's also 12 new resurfacing projects with construction in fiscal year 25. And with these new resurfacing projects, it's the opportunity for the TPA to evaluate these corridors and to implement additional complete streets and other safety improvements while this resurfacing work is being done. So this will conclude my portion of the presentation for the draft tentative work program. And now I'd like to invite Leslie Weatherall to do a brief presentation or provide some additional information. Well, this will happen virtually, so we'll bring her online and she'll continue the conversation.
Leslie, I'm not sure that your microphone's connected. We're not getting any sound from you. Okay, no problem. And then, Madam Chair, I did have a hand raised by a member, but they did lower their hand. Did you want to take questions before this or after Leslie's presentation? Because I did have that Richard Pereira had his hand raised. It's your preference, which...
Right. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, sorry about that. Move my camera a little better. So good morning, my name is Leslie Weatherell. I'm the District 4 Program Management Administrator We're happy to be here with you today. Thank you for having us. We are here today, as Jason mentioned, to present the department's draft tentative work program for fiscal years 22 through 26. We are here later than normal this cycle, and we sincerely really appreciate all the help and partnership that you all have worked with us on this very unique, challenging cycle this year. It's been a challenge for us. I know it's been a challenge for you all, but collectively, I think we're managing to make it through. So a huge thank you to everybody at the TPA for supporting us and working collaboratively with us. So generally speaking, I like to just give a quick overview of how things get to this point. We typically meet with you all in the spring with TPA staff to go over what you think your priorities are going to be so that we can ultimately receive your list of priority projects. Again, as Jason mentioned in the presentation on the flowchart. So we thank you for providing that information to us so that we could then incorporate it into what you see here today. We're currently presenting to all of the TACs in our district, and then we will come to your board meeting as well as all the board meetings of our other MPO partners. And then we will have the department's or District 4's work program public hearing, and that will be on Tuesday, January 26th at 6:30 p.m. And it will be a hybrid format similar to what we have today here, where you can RSVP to attend in person or you can participate virtually. And if we haven't already provided that information to you, our liaison will provide that contact info of those dates and times to you. Okay. So after we have our public hearing and go to all of our TAC and MPO meetings, we combine all of our information and submit it to Central Office. And Central Office has a public hearing on March 1st, and that is the day before legislative session opens. The secretary will adopt the work program in July, and we will start all over on this process again in the spring. So as many of you all know, it has been a challenging year this cycle. And in August, we did receive the Revenue Estimating Conference results. And the Revenue Estimating Conference is related to state funding that the department receives. And basically the bottom line was that the department through fiscal year 26, which is our new fifth year of the work program, statewide, we had reduced allocations in the amount of $1.36 billion. So a little bit of a reduction than what we were anticipating. The revenue reductions were across the board, and it, you know, primarily due to the less gas tax being collected since less people are driving right now. There's also the other element of less gas tax is we have more fuel efficient cars on the road. You know, people are driving hybrids and electric vehicles. So that also reduces the gas tax that we receive as well. The dock stamps are pretty stable, although we don't get a tremendous amount of money from that arena, but dock stamps are what funding that's generated from real estate transactions. We also get funding from rental car surcharges, and that was radically reduced this year for the lack of rental cars being rented. There was also some less initial vehicle registrations, which contributes to the State Transportation Trust Fund. And then generally speaking, we're seeing increases in the costs of design, right-of-way, and construction. So it's kind of a balance there. On the federal side of the House, so to speak, we are in a continuing resolution of the FAST Act through next September. We are business as usual on the federal side. So let's see, this year, because of our unique challenges, the department's goal was to maintain all of our safety, preservation, and maintenance projects that were statutorily required to maintain. So projects like projects like capacity projects were the projects that were probably impacted the most with this development of the tentative work program. if we did fund new phases, and you saw that in Jason's presentation, they tend to be in the new fifth year of the work program, which this cycle is fiscal year 26. We did provide a number of documents, and I believe they were in your package. We provided a county-specific citizens plan and also a district-wide citizens plan. And Jason did a great job of kind of going through the highlights. I wasn't planning on going into any more detail, but I am happy to answer any questions you might have. And I believe the Turnpike is here as well. I'm not sure if that's a separate item on your agenda or if you all wanted to combine that into one.
Yes, the Turnpike is also on the line. We can ask them if they'd like to say any words as well. Are you able to unmute?
Great.
Yes, hello, good morning, Victoria Williams. The Turnpike has a summary of projects that we've included for your review. And y'all can hear me, right?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear
you. All right, excellent. See if I can get my screen to come on. Otherwise, just to give you all an overview of this summary of projects, maybe we can put that on the screen or y'all can look at your own versions of it. Our summary of projects shows in District 4, the Turnpike spending $1.7 billion over the next 5 years, a good chunk of money that comes from the toll revenue. So these projects are shown to you as a summary when there is construction financing included in the next 5 years for that project. So the first page gives a recap and a summary of our work program projects over those five districts. And I always like to be very graphic and look at maps. The map for Palm Beach County is on page 13 of this document of the Turnpike's work program. And we can see there many different projects and the status that they have. To get more details on those projects, you can go to page 7 and scroll down past Broward County, where we are doing a lot of work as well to help alleviate the congestion. So starting on page 7, we can see Palm Beach County has
Victoria,
auxiliary lane project. I'm not sure if we can get that graphic on the screen.
Yes, we're working now to have that on the screen for you. One second, we're pulling it up.
So for excellent. Those,
on the call as well in the meeting, if you go to the tip page where all these other documents were posted as well, we also have the link for the Turnpike. And so that's what we're having our staff pull up now. And then she can scroll to the map for our county. So 1 second, we're doing this.
Okay.
Now.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Also, for anyone that wants more details, the website floridasturnpike.com gives project summaries for your review that include maps, they include the link and contact information for the project manager. And it's a good way to stay in touch with us. If you have any questions, you can always contact me as well. But so we do put online at floridasturnpike.com a summary of our projects. The first improvement we're looking to do in Palm Beach County is known as a TSMNO, Transportation System Management Operations. We're trying to make the traffic move better by adding auxiliary lanes from the Palm Beach County and Broward line to north of Glades Road. This is a 3-mile segment where we're going to increase the number of lanes from 6 to 8, one lane, auxiliary lane in each direction. It's a project that goes with our widening that comes along at later in this presentation, and it's in the same vicinity. So kind of working our way north from the county line. You know, we've been working on the resurfacing and widening of from Boynton Beach Boulevard to Lake Worth Road, right on up to the Service Plaza in West Palm. Well, on page 8, it starts our list of the widening from the Service Plaza to Southern Boulevard. And what's great about this is we're going to do some interchange improvements also at Southern Boulevard. Those improvements at Southern Boulevard are in the design process right now. As you see here, we're getting this money together to start a design in 2023. And we anticipate adding an additional lane at Southern Boulevard, both north and southbound exits, and also on the southbound entrance ramp. This will lengthen the storage for our eastbound left turn lane to get on the turnpike, and it's going to be part of the project. We're also likely going to work on that intersection to add some turn lanes prior to finalizing our design. And we are going to seek input from our stakeholders and do a lot of outreach to get ideas as well from those of the public. The next item down is continuing north. We're going to widen from 4 to 8, as Jason mentioned, from Southern Boulevard to Okeechobee Boulevard. And this will include work as well on an interchange. Let me describe the two more interchange work that we're going to do. Jog Road, if anyone uses that, you know it's a limited access, doesn't go all directions. This design that we're anticipating will add the to and from north ramps. We're hoping that'll further relieve the Okeechobee interchange up to the north. And we're going to look at some auxiliary lanes between those interchanges. At Okeechobee Boulevard, the most significant improvement is going to be to separate the northbound off-ramp into two ramps, essentially in the same location, but designed so the approach of these ramps to the current intersection with Okeechobee will be on the right side for westbound traffic and on the left side for eastbound traffic. So hopefully this is going to eliminate the weaving movements that occur at that location, southbound approach to the intersection. Again, additional lanes and storage are being reviewed. Work on that intersection as well. You can see the funding for that. Our project environmental is scheduled in 2023 and the construction funds are scheduled in 2025. Scrolling down, another widening north of Okeechobee Boulevard to Beeline Highway. We also are working with the district on the Beeline Highway, State Road 710. From North Lake Boulevard to Blue Heron Boulevard, what we're funding here in fiscal year 22 is going to allow for a bridge replacement at Beeline Highway to accommodate future widening of the turnpike. Going down to Boynton Beach Boulevard to talk about the interchange improvements there, we're going to modify the northbound off-ramp. We're going to significantly extend the auxiliary lane, widen the ramp to two lanes. So we're also going to make some improvements with the signalization upgrades at the intersection. The northbound on-ramp is going to be milled, resurfaced, and westbound turn lane is going to be added to provide access to the northbound on-ramp. A little resurfacing for safety. We are looking at that going north to milepost 112 to 117. And the last item that's highlighted for Palm Beach County in this summary of projects is the West Palm Beach Service Plaza. We've heard a lot from freight drivers that they need more parking. So this is going to add 15 more truck parking spaces. And for those big tandem trucks, we're going to add 50 feet of parking space for them, 30 more northbound passenger car spaces, and 35 southbound passenger car spaces. The plaza is very popular and gets quite full, so we're addressing some of those to improve the parking. Also moving around some of the features there, the ditch and some lighting. So a little north of here, Palm Beach County, I want to highlight one more project that's not in writing because it's only in the design phase, but it is in the TPA's goals to help relieve the traffic that crosses over from I-95 to the Turnpike or from the Turnpike to I-95 at Indian Town Road. So the challenge was trying to find something that would fit in that location to make a crossover. So the Turnpike's design funding is in 2021. We're working on this now, and we're having to go further north because of some landscape features such as the Loxahatchee River, Wild and Scenic. We've got a very large Thomas Manuel Bridge over the Okeechobee Waterway, and of course, Jonathan Dickinson Park is forcing us to go further north into Martin County. But I wanted to tell the TPA about this because it does affect, we're hoping it will relieve, a significant amount of traffic that just uses that Indian Town Road interchange to hop onto the other limited access facility. We're envisioning a direct connect somewhere up by Martin Highway. I also wanted to talk about the fact that we're completing our all electronic tolling. We're removing the toll booths. That's why we're able to do some of these reconfigurations at our interchanges. So stay tuned as we move forward. Again, remember to pay tolls the least expensive way using a Sun Pass. And we're also looking forward at becoming interoperable with the Northeast states in that's called the EZ Pass system. That'll hook us up to about 18 states. Right now, you can use your transponder anywhere in Florida. You can use it for parking at airports and at the stadium, a couple stadiums. And we're looking at, right now, you can use it in Georgia and North Carolina, but very soon you'll see that coming out. You may have to have a new transponder, but we're looking at some incentives for that program very soon. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to take that. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, Victoria, I had one question for you. This is Andrew. Yes. Sorry I didn't get to talk to you earlier about it. I believe in the past you all had also in the description for these capacity products on the turnpike to include managed lanes, and we didn't see that referenced at all in your summary that you provided. Can you speak more on that?
Sure. What we're looking at, of course, with these programs is to analyze what may or may not be useful here for the congestion. Managed lanes in a turnpike. We've made a determination last year that what traditionally had been known as express lanes on the turnpike system will not be separately tolled. So as these widenings are studied, any kind of references to managed lanes would not impose an additional toll on a turnpike user. It would allow for further travel between exits so that there's less interaction with the movement of coming in and off of the turnpike. So any of those options that come up as we analyze these widenings and move forward, these designs are implemented, please know that the turnpike policy is we will not be charging additional tolls for anyone using these types of managed lanes. I hope that's helpful, Andrew. And of course, as we go forward on these projects, we're going to bring them back to the TPA and get some input. I don't think it's in the plans right now for y'all to have you do not desire express, but the type of managed lane option, you know, may be something that fits in with the vision of the TPA.
Okay. Do we have any questions for Victoria from the floor?
I still have a point I want to make relative to the presentation made by Jason, which is that the reference to the Brandt Bridge project being delayed is actually the Brandt Bridge Connector project. There are two projects. The Brandt Bridge Connector project is a city managed project under the local agency program. And then you have the Brandt Bridge project, which is being managed by DOT on behalf of the city. That project is on track. And I believe the plans are now in Tallahassee for letting. So just wanted to clarify that, especially for people attending online.
Thank you. I'd also like to recognize Mike Morrow with a comment.
Good morning. The city would like to go on record to let everyone know the I-95 and Central Boulevard project presently is in the right-of-way acquisition process, and it's not due to be constructed, I think, till fiscal year 2028. But as we're working through with the project manager and the designers, we're finding lots of mature landscape buffers that are in the way, and the sound walls that are proposed really aren't going to meet the concerns that our residents have at this point in time. That being said, none of these things would preclude us from going forward and agreeing with your presentation, and you know, that wouldn't hang anything up in our minds, but we just wanted to let you all know that those concerns are out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Tyler Jupiter, thing.
I saw the first time that the Indian Town Road project, the construction dollar, is going to be delayed from FY23 to FY24. And I just want some kind of information be provided as to the specific reason. Is that due to the revenue reductions or right-of-way issue? And also, is the letting days will be postponed too?
I think that was in your presentation, Jason, but who would give the explanation as to why?
I have to reach out to FDOT to find out exactly what is due to the delay for the construction funds. For asking about Indian Town Road, correct?
Yes.
Unless anyone from FDOT is present that might know more about the Indian Town, the construction delay.
Hi, Jason. It's Leslie. So this one is primarily due to the revenue reductions. It's not considered a preservation, safety, or maintenance project. So unfortunately, it was one of the ones that did move slightly. The letting date will shift from fiscal year 23 to 24. However, we can get back to you on what that new letting date is for your reference, if that will be helpful for you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie.
Do we have any raised hands?
I do, if you're finished with the ones in person. So I have Mo, Alex, and then Jim.
Okay, Mo.
Okay, good morning, everyone. I think I am unmuted. You should be hearing me now, right?
Yes, we can hear you, Mo.
Very good. I have a couple of comments on the project for the signal upgrades on the state highway system. That's, I believe, year rank was 20-2 and 20-4 on page 16 in Jason's presentation. We listed in those among those intersections is a signal that is no more needed. That's the Blue Heron Boulevard at fire station number 2. We just found out, you know, not long ago that this fire station is no longer exists. It was taken down by the city. Therefore, that signal would probably be removed, and we pass this information to DOT. So this intersection needs to be removed from listing there. Also, there must have been an error in typing or entering the names of the intersections. They are listing an intersection here for signal upgrade as Hagen Ranch Road at Belvedere Road. These roads don't intersect. That location does not exist. I believe that there was an error in putting an at after Hagen Ranch Road at Belvedere Road. That needs to be taken out, then everything else will read correctly. The other thing is for this item, in the notes, they say that originally there were 28 intersections requested and 9 of them do not have right-of-way available, therefore they were taken out. And my question is, why is it we always have projects that require acquisition of right-of-way and that does not disqualify those projects? So if you could explain this to me, it would be nice. That's it.
I can start. No, this is Andrew. So the way that you see it described right now doesn't change too much from our priority list. We need to talk with the project manager about how they decided to separate these projects. Because when you see on the screen there, you know, how we originally, you guys submitted the projects with us and Boca Raton as well. to FDOT. It then sort of got split up into different projects, I believe for different various reasons. Some did require right-of-way acquisition. So the notes there could probably be updated to be more accurate. And like you said, the locations. So we still need to talk with the product managers to make sure that we have the right location, locations available for this project.
But the nine, I counted the listed projects, there are 19, as the note says, 19 are listed. So there were nine other locations that were taken out. So you're saying that you would be revisiting with them to see if those could be added back or what?
Correct. So what we're going to be asking them is, the product manager, is to figure out why they specifically took out certain intersections or not. So what we do see is the 19 that you're talking about, but we don't have the reasoning for the other ones fully about why they're taken out. Some might be because of right of way. Maybe there's other reasons, like you said, that aren't needed, like Blue Heron at Fire Station 2. So we still need to get more information about the reason why the other ones were taken out.
All right, thank you.
Alex?
And Alex, I'm sorry, you will need to unmute your phone again.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
I had a question. I see that one of the projects that is being identified for postponement is the Tri-Rail extension to Jupiter. This project was identified in 2014, so now 7 years ago, as one of the top priorities by the TPA. And now again, it's being postponed. I am aware that in Miami-Dade County and Broward County, there's actually an acceleration of discussion and activity about having commuter rail service on the FEC tracks. So my hope was that, if anything, we were going to actually accelerate now the studies and the discussions about having that commuter rail service on the FEC tracks. But what I see here is the postponement of this project, which again, at this stage is only PD&E, but I'm disappointed and about this postponement. So I wanted to find out a little bit more as to what is prompting this new postponement of this, what I think is much needed project, which again, was identified as one of the top priorities by the TPA for the last 7 years now.
And I can follow up, but this is Andrew again. So yes, this project, we've had previously the same sort of issue come up every year. You know, it keeps getting delayed. And the reasoning for it is FDOT will not go forward with allowing the PD&E to be funded until the operations and maintenance portion has been figured out. For the service. And so once we have that figured out, that's when FDOT said they can go forward with the PD&E. And so when you see Miami-Dade or Broward moving forward with some of these projects for Tri-Rail, it's because they now have that local revenue system in place to pay for that service. And then also
When are we going to have that operations discussion and those studies that would then allow for the PD&E to proceed? Because this is not a new item again.
Sure, I'm not sure. That's probably directed at the TAC as a whole, I'm sure. There's been more conversations. Obviously, there's the Palm Beach County has their transportation summit. There's been a recent, and that's going on tomorrow. There's the recent regional transportation summit to discuss regional transportation and how to move forward possibly with additional revenue sources. So I think the discussion is starting to ramp up more. That's sort of my take on it. I didn't know, but that sounded more like a rhetorical question and more of a question for the TAC, so.
If you're ready to move forward, Madam Chair, Jim Bell, and then Mo has his hand raised again.
Madam Chair, this is Vicki Gatanis from SFRT. I can't raise my hand for some reason. May I respond to the question?
To Alex's question, certainly.
Right. One of the major impediments there, Alex, is that we, the FEC has to, well, there's an access fee issue. So the FEC is not interested at this point in providing access there or even giving a cost there. That's one of the aspects. And the other is the O&M, and there would have to be a local commitment of funds. But the locals can't commit funds until they know what the access cost would be. So it gets to be circular. And that's where it stands right now. That's the end of my comment.
Thank you. Jim, you're next.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I have two questions. One's related to the two questions for the work program. One's related to the palm trans shelters. I noticed that there are going to be 22 enhanced shelters. Are these only going to be existing shelters, or can they be new ones? That's one of my questions related to shelters. And then the other one is, can we get a copy of where those locations of these shelters will be, whether they'll be existing enhanced shelters or also new ones or whatever? So that's question number one. Question number two is, I was wondering if there are going to be any bike lane upgrades within the city of Boca Raton. I've recently noticed that in Boynton Beach, there have been some bike lane upgrades on Federal Highway in Boynton Beach. And I was just wondering if the same bike lane upgrades were in the work program for the area within the city of Boca Raton. I didn't specifically see them. Maybe they're in there. I just missed them, but I just wanted to know about that. So those are my kind of two broad questions.
I can respond to that one. This is Andrew again. For the first one you mentioned, there's the 22 enhanced transit shelters, and this is the product on the state road modification list, product 17-1B, US 1 Palmetto Park Road to North Lake Boulevard. And so there is a rough determination about where these shelters will be located. We looked at stops that are existing that are in the right of way. So it wouldn't require right of way acquisition. And so these would be enhanced shelters in those locations. So we do have a rough list of where those will be going. And then for the second one is the Boca Raton one for bike lane upgrades. I can't recall off the top of my head. So I don't know what the, give me a second. We can have our staff research that real quick to give you more information on that.
Back to the, are you able to hear me right now?
Yes.
Okay. Back to the shelters though, again. Can they be new ones, or are they really only ones that are already there?
I believe they can be new ones as well. Yes.
Okay. And so at some point, could I get a copy of that general list or where you expect them to be?
Yes. We could talk with you and Palm Tran about, the preliminary locations for those.
Okay, thanks.
I have Mo with his hand raised. And just to note, I do have a public comment as well when you're ready for that.
Okay, Mo.
All right, thank you. I have a question about the two projects on Atlantic Avenue. The one first one is from SR7 to Lyons, and then the second one is from Lyons to Jug Road. The first one, I believe, has been pushed back. And the question is, why is that? The second question is for the second segment. It seems like we have not allocated construction money yet. And the reason I'm asking about these two projects is that we have a lot of citizen inquiries and requests to widen these roads each time we entertain or have a public hearing about any new development being approved in that area, this question comes up.
Thank you, Mo. Is Leslie still on? Do you have an answer for the Atlantic Ave?
Sure.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Mo. Okay, Atlantic Avenue. So the construction for the piece from State Road 7 to Lyons was deferred from fiscal year 23 to 24. Unfortunately, we've run into some permitting issues and some right-of-way issues that have necessitated the delay of that project one fiscal year. And then your second question about the Atlantic Avenue. So as Jason noted in his presentation, we were able to add additional right-of-way funds for this project. However, the right-of-way is very expensive. It's almost $40 million for this project. So we're, you know, and as I mentioned in my opening remarks, capacity projects were the projects that were most impacted with the challenges we faced this year with the revenue reductions. So we were able to, even though it's a capacity project, we were able to add a few more dollars to the right-of-way phase to try to get us towards that $40 million. However, we still have to get to the $40 million for the right-of-way, and then we have to fund construction. And that's just the nature of how projects like that kind of roll out. Unfortunately, again, this is a very expensive right-of-way project. The right-of-way is probably going to be 2 to 3 times as much as the construction.
Do you have a feel on when do you think construction money will be allocated? Is it 27, 28? Do you have any idea?
Unfortunately, I don't, Mo. The department, of course, is always willing to partner with the county if the county would like to provide local funding to help support the project moving forward.
We're already supporting your signal system in the county. You reimburse us about 50% or less than 50% of the actual cost of the maintenance that we provide. So
we appreciate your partnership.
We are good with welfare. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mo. I know we have a public comment, but I'm going to go to Terrence first.
Okay, this is a question in reference to revenue, and I think it's going to probably be for Nick, so warning.
Terrence, I'm sorry. Can you bring your microphone closer? Sure. Thank you.
Over the last few years, we've seen the gas tax revenue consistently decline. We can anticipate that going on forever as cars become more fuel efficient, and as people switch over to alternative fuel sources. These are vital funds for us to fulfill our mission. And I guess the question is, at what point are we going to get away from a gas tax to a user fee? Many methods to do it. It could be on miles traveled each year where you pay per mile. Any other methodology that would be more stable. And this is why I say, I think this is a question for Nick. Is that something that should come out of this organization? Obviously, it's going to be statewide, but it's going to have to start somewhere as a discussion point, or are we going to continue to just ignore the decline in gas tax revenue for the next few decades and figure it out or punt down the road? At some point, we are going to have to switch out of gas tax to a stable revenue source that is based on actual user per mile basis versus how much gas you consume.
Okay.
And that the DOT, if they're already having those conversations, feel free to jump in. Anybody who, I guess I position this for Nick, is that something that is appropriate for this body, yes or no? And if not, then we may need to move to wherever it might be appropriate to begin that conversation.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So the conversation about shifting from a gas tax to a mileage-based user fee has been ongoing for the last several years. I think that it would be fine if the tax says, hey, we would like to recommend to the TPA governing board that this become an advocacy position of the TPA. We're working our way through developing those advocacy positions. It's actually been a formally established position of the Metropolitan Planning Organization Advisory Council, the formal partnership of the 27 MPOs in Florida. It's been a priority of them in their legislative ask every year for maybe the last 6 or 7 years. There was momentum and a study 4 years ago. I'm looking at you, John, but I think you were in the private sector when the study happened. The legislature said, DOT, go do a study, figure out what it would take to implement this. The study happened. The legislature didn't want to enact the recommended changes or the identified changes. I don't even know if they were recommended. I think they were just identified. These are the issues that you would encounter, and these are the kinds of implementation obstacles that you would need to address. if the state of Florida wanted to transition to a mileage-based user fee. Until the legislature says we want this, all we can do is keep saying, you better be thinking about this. The change is necessary. And I think we all understand that that's the trajectory that we're on.
Great, thank you for that update.
Okay. Public comment? I don't see any more.
Yes, I don't have any other hands raised. What? No. So I have Krishid Mahayadin with a public comment. And Krishid, you will need to unmute on your end.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, two comments. One, it would be nice to know if the DOT's interchange that they were talking about, actually Turnpike's interchange on Southern Boulevard, is it coordinated with the State Road 80 corridor plan, and what scenario are of that? Second, is AMCOS affecting any money coming towards our county or in the future projections of the DOT's forecast? And is there anything this TPA can do to affect or ensure that it does not affect funding coming to the county projects? That's all. Thank you.
Yes, if this is Victoria Williams, if the chair would allow.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. The Turnpike has a team member working with the MCORS group, and I can give you a little info about that. We also have the Turnpike Southern Boulevard planning that is going to incorporate working with the FDOT district as well as the county. We're very far off in our efforts, but I really appreciate that question because it is important for us to coordinate with all those stakeholders. And of course, the State Road 80 corridor plan has been around for quite some time. So our project managers are going to move forward into that arena as we get closer to the funding. Just checking to see here, we're looking at that in our work program north of Okeechobee. Here's the one at Southern Boulevard. Our P&E is scheduled at 2023, and the construction funding is actually in the year fiscal year 2025. So the work on the actual interchange itself, Southern Boulevard, the construction money is in the year 2024. So at our P&E stage in fiscal year 2023, we will of course be coordinating with them. I hope that answers your question about that. The acronym MCORS, I'd like to give a good resource for everyone to look at more information. It stands for Multi-Use Corridors of Regional Economic Significance. As most people know, Governor DeSantis signed the bill in May of 2019. There are some study areas identified. Suncoast Corridor up in the northern part of the state, at the Georgia border. There's another corridor, Northern Turnpike Corridor. It goes from the terminus of our turnpike up to the Suncoast Parkway. And then the Southwest Central Florida Corridor. So the task force has been pre-planning this information. They have submitted the information to the governor and the legislature. And a lot of this information is captured at a website. And I can give you that website, Florida, F-L-O-R-I-D-A, MCORES.com. So that's FloridaMCORES.com, no dash. According to all those task forces, where the study is in mid-2021 going to be totally completed for preliminary needs, they're looking at the financial analysis, they're evaluating the corridors. There have already been public stakeholder meetings. This PD&E is not yet scheduled. There is no time frame for the formal project development and environmental. The time frame for right-of-way acquisition has not been identified. And construction must begin per legislation by December 31st of the year 2022. So that's what I have for you on MCORS. We're looking at those phases. You can stay connected with that at floridamcourse.com. A lot of great FAQs there. So if there's more questions, please let me know. But the funding each year must be approved by the legislature. So they're the ones that actually look at this. They're hopeful as well that that project will enhance some of the infrastructure for Wi-Fi, et cetera. So it has many angles to it. But that's a brief overview of Florida MCORS.
Thank you. There's no more public comment?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, I don't see any hands raised. I have no cards up. So I'm going to need a motion to recommend endorsement of the FDOT fiscal year 2022-2026 draft tentative work program, and then I'll open the floor to discussion.
So moved.
So I have a motion by Terrence and a second by Aaron.
Okay, do we have anyone who wants to make a comment or open discussion?
I have Alex Hansen with his hand raised. Terrence, do you have anything? Your 10 cards raised. No, awesome. You're good. Okay, so I just have Alex, Madam Chair.
Okay. Alex?
Yes, hi. The work program includes two projects associated with State Road 7, the extension of State Road 7 to North Lake Boulevard, and then the widening of an existing section north of Okeechobee. Those two projects are opposed by the city of West Palm Beach because of their impacts on Grassy Waters Preserve. And as a result of that, I cannot support this work program that we're gonna be voting on in a few minutes. So I just wanna express the reason for my vote of no on this item.
Thank you. I'm seeing no requests for further discussion. I have a motion from Terrence and a second by Aaron. We're going to do this vote by roll call. Margie, please call the roll.
Okay, so just to confirm with everybody, the motion on the floor is to recommend endorsement of the FDOT fiscal year 2022 to 2026 draft tentative work program as presented. Before I call the roll, virtual members, please unmute your microphones. In-person members, please remember to turn on your microphones. Please respond by either saying yes or no when I call your name. Will Hicks. Modisum Alturk.
Yes.
Anna Bielowska.
Yes.
Terrence Bailey.
Yes.
Jim Bell.
Yes.
Jamie Brown.
Yes.
Lena Camacho.
No.
Vicki Gatanis. Vicki Gatanis. Michael Morrow.
Yes.
Ryan Davis.
Yes.
Kim Delaney. Yes. Chang Jin Lin.
Yes.
Alex Hansen.
No.
Aaron Hoffman. Kara Ferris.
Yes.
Michael Rumpf.
Yes.
Maher Mansour.
Yes.
Christopher Marsh.
Yes.
Michael O'Dell.
Yes.
Richard Pereira.
Yes.
Kim Glass Castro.
Yes.
Maria Tahara. Maria Tahara. I will mark her absent from the voting, and Kenny Wilson is absent from the voting. And just to circle back, Vicki Gatanis.
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes, Madam Chair. I only had two opposed, Lena Camacho and Alex Hansen.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is informational items. There are no informational items on this agenda today. So we'll move forward to administrative items. They did provide summary points for the December 17th, 2020 governing board meeting. This is an informational item only. There's no staff presentation on this item unless requested by a committee member. I don't see any, so we can, are there any public comments on this item?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Our next item is our next meeting. Our next TAC meeting is scheduled for February 3rd, 2021. Thank you all for your patience with us as we conduct this meeting committee meeting today. At this time, our meeting is adjourned.